It's time for the Mac Show. Yes, it's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. Well, no, it's not. It's actually 4:10, which is actually a record for us. That's not bad at all. And we're here for the Mac Show with a international panel. The sun never sets on BTN. Do you know the other day, right, guys? I was sitting typing an email and I put in at everyone on the phone and it came up and it said, this is going to send a tweet or, you know, an instance to 190 people in 15 time zones. And I thought, how cool is that? We cover 15 time zones.
Yeah, I think we cover most of the world time zone-wise.
The sun never sets on BTN.
Yeah.
There we go. Joining me, awesome panel. The guy who's either got the microwave on or is downloading porn, Doc Rock. How you doing?
It's because the BTN page doesn't support dark mode and I can't stand these pages, but it's looking at me, so what can I do? Anyway, I'm good.
Right, okay. It's as of next week, it's obviously going to get even shittier then because we've got less than second streaming. It's going
to
be awesome.
So that's good. So now all we got to do is do this simple CSS code that allows it to support dark mode like all the other pages in the planet.
Okay. Patrice, you on that?
Okay, I'll
That's you do realize as well, right? In January of this year, what did BTN start supporting? And that's going to be the answer. Dark mode on its page.
Not flat.
It's dark, not dark mode. Dark.
No, it's dark mode. It's absolutely dark mode. Dark. What are you on?
Oh, that's what I'm going to call it. Dark
mode. Dark mode. You can now enable dark mode. We've got a title already. That's good. I like that.
You know, when you first wake up in the morning, it's as bright as I'll get. So, like, if I go to YouTube or whatever, it's dark mode. But then when you switch back, it's just, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it also messes up my ISO.
Is it a case of when you press it, it comes on 20 minutes later?
Dark.
Do it, Callum.
That's a burn, man.
Oh, wow.
I know. First one, early in the morning.
Quality burn, Callum. You're totally in the network. Definitely. Are you well, brother? Happy New Year.
Yeah, just long day yesterday, so early morning still yet. I'm still waking up. I'll be there by the time we get to Jeff.
Have you had a fall in the bath this year yet?
Yes.
You've had another one?
Oh, no, that was last year.
That was last year. Yeah. No. Next to him, a man I am gobsmacked to see here today after the conversations we had last night on the big show, Jeff Gamut.
I know. I'm just... What it comes down to is I just can't stay away.
It's good, mate. It's good. Whoa! Holy crap, that was a cat.
Yeah, apparently the office manager decided that she needed to do a desk inspection.
She's fine, mate. It's not a problem. Are you well, buddy? How is the Denver weather report? Because we haven't done that for about 6 months.
The Denver weather report is pretty boring, which is actually a bad sign for the rest of the country.
It's
not really snowing. It's really dry. It's warm out, which means we're not getting the snow we need, excuse me, so that the rest of the country can have the water that they need.
Right. Okay. And you've got raccoons shitting on your car.
Oh, my God. What is up with that? Yeah. Yeah. Went out.
Well, the ground's cold.
The other day, and there's a big pile of raccoon crap on the hood of my car.
That's my favorite Instagram post of the year so far.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. No. Because I looked at it and I thought, there's a frog on Jeff's bonnet.
Nope. Nope.
But it wasn't a frog. It was a turd frog.
It was. Yeah. Damn raccoons.
Damn turds.
Trash pandas ruin everything.
Turd frog. It's an artistic raccoon if it crapped out a turd frog.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell it that because that'll only encourage it. and I shudder to think what it will leave on my hood next.
The sad part is it's not cold enough to have frozen it, so you could have bagged it and then put it on display in the local museum.
True.
I've sculpted the turd frog.
The other sad part of it is that with lockdown stuff happening, I don't drive my car hardly at all. So it had probably been on my hood for a couple days. And it took a lot of work at the car wash to get that stupid thing off. Yes, I drove to the car wash with this big raccoon turd.
You had a turd. You had a turd frog frozen to your bonnet.
Yep. Welcome to Colorado.
That's awesome. I want to come visit. Next in, Patrice.
Yeah.
How you doing, girl?
Doing very good.
Yeah, you're speechless. I get that. That's fine.
I'm speechless. Like, I miss the show. It's so much fun.
No. The turd frog is definitely here to stay. We might have to... We got Doc Mode and the turd frog. There you go. There's our title this week. I know you well, so that's all that matters. Next to him, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Mate, happy new year. How the devil are you?
I'm great, Ewan. It's good to have you back. Happy New Year to you as well, and to everybody on BTN.
The British Turd Network. Thanks, Callum.
No worries.
anything that we got with a T in it just gets inserted in the middle of our name. Did you have a good Christmas and New Year?
Had a real good Christmas and New Year. Very quiet, not a lot of activity, which actually turns out to be not so bad every once in a while.
Apart from becoming a granddad.
I'm sorry?
Apart from becoming a granddad.
Oh, yeah, apart from that, yeah. Yeah, I made a disclaimer on last week's show about that. No, I'm not a grandfather. I have not been. I'm not going to be. I'm not even a father, so let's not skip any steps here.
Mate, you know when Mueller screws up, he does it proper. He doesn't mess around.
I think the first, I logged into the Slack, and I think I got the first congratulations from Kyle from the news, and it's like, congratulations for what? And then all these others started popping
up.
Oh, did
he put it in the news show?
What's going on here?
Did Kyle put that in the news show? It was actually a read-out story.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Well, that would be awesome.
That makes it real. So, congratulations, Chuck.
Congratulations, Chuck.
Yeah, no, congratulations to Chuck Latornis. He's the one that became the grandfather.
Yeah, no, we missed Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's good. We should have had him back. It'd be great to get him on and claim the real grandchild.
Absolutely.
Please, Doc, stop sending me bloody messages, man.
Put it on, do it on mute.
Oh, it's my fault. I got you right. Okay.
You like this?
Yeah, abuser. You
pull this thing down, and then when you see the orange markings, then it won't make noise.
Thanks, dude. Do appreciate it. And last but by no means least, Chuck's grandson, Callum. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm all right. I'm fine. Yeah.
Cal, I'm going to have to change my will.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you need your Mac fixing, I'm sure that qualifies you for a preferential rate anyway, so there's upsides to it.
There you go, Chuck. There you go, mate. You've got free Mac repairs for the rest of your life. Just all you've got to say is...
I never said free.
Callum, I said that. I am your grandfather.
I mean, no. All right. Oh, dear.
Now, hold your hand out while I cut it off. I don't know if you saw it there, but I took a drink from my Iron Max mug.
See?
Hey, look at that. I've got an Iron Max mug because Mo dropped me one off yesterday. How cool is this?
You've got something else as well, haven't you?
I have, because I've got... You've got an Iron Max wireless charger. Now, you can actually put the mug and use it as a coaster on the charger, but it's actually a charger for your phone. And here's the cool bit, right? It's got two USB ports on it, so you can charge other devices that you connect to it. There we go. I've got to put it further back. There you go. So an Iron Max charger and an Iron Max mug. Now, if you want one of these, then get in touch with Callum and Mo at Iron Max, and you can buy one. Simple as that. Or you could try and win one, because we got three of the little buggers to give away. There we go. There's three of them. Three Iron Max chargers. And we've got one Iron Max mug to give away as well as. Now, you can't have this one because I've spat on it. So given the current climate, that's a bad idea. So we're not going to send this one out. But the new Iron Max mug that's over there is freely available for anyone who can answer a question. And at the end of the podcast, we'll give you the question to answer, and you may be the proud possessor of either an Iron Max mug or one of the wireless iPad chargers. There we go. today. And it tastes even better out of this than it does out of a glass.
Well, it would, wouldn't it?
And now I'm suggesting it might be a fine wine, but it's not. It's actually Diet Coke. So good. We're all underway. Are we ready to go? 3, 2, 1. Epic Games expands its Fortnite legal dispute with Apple to the UK. Well, best of luck with that then. I've got to say that I'm proud. One of the proudest things that I've got in my knowledge of Britain is that we don't suffer fools gladly here in the legal system. And we don't have class actions and all that kind of bollocks that you've got in the States. And I think that Epic Games is going to be told to piss off. So, well done. I really wish that Lord Denning was still alive, because Lord Denning would come out with the words piss off, but he'd use 45 of them, and they would be absolutely dripping with insight and knowledge. I want Lord Denning back just from the dead to pronounce on this case and tell them to go stuff themselves. episode of Servant, season 2, has premiered on Apple TV. I've lost the sharp stick that I shove in my eye normally when I look at this kind of thing. Servant was a bag of shite in the first episode. I never finished the last episode. And M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, you owe me 7 hours of my life, so bugger off. And the last one in this, Joaquin Phoenix is going to star as Napoleon, and I think he'd be pretty good at this, in a Ridley Scott movie about Napoleon. And I thought, wow, this is going to be amazing. And then I realised they called it Kitbag. Why would you make a film about Napoleon and call it Kitbag?
I thought that was the sequel to Ted Lasso.
Well, let's hope so, because otherwise it sounds like it might be bollocks.
Yeah.
I mean, Ridley Scott, undeniably a god when it comes to direction. Joaquin Phoenix, a bit off his face, but good actor. Napoleon, great subject matter, because there's been very few films about him. Rod Steiger was in, wasn't he? Was it Rod Steiger? Or was it Brando? Might be Steiger. And but I just don't get the title. Kitbag. Why would you call it Kitbag?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
No. Unless Napoleon invented the Kitbag.
Maybe that's the working title.
Maybe. Well, I hope so. Napoleon, the Life and Times of Gladiator. Alien Gladiator. Apple is planning to bring music and podcasts to the Microsoft Store only 10 years too late. Never mind, eh?
No, that won't be good, actually, because there are times when I don't want to go switch and tell one of the assistants to switch from the Xbox to the Apple TV, but I want to listen to podcasts. And yeah, so normally what I have to do is switch. So I would like that, because I can just say, hey, hey, lady, tell Xbox to play such and such podcast, and then I'm good to go.
Wasn't Windows one of the few places where iTunes was still around?
Yeah.
Is it still?
It is, yeah.
And it's still as in iTunes?
Yeah, it still is, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really? That's still iTunes?
Yes.
Huh.
On my CNC machine, it's still iTunes.
On your CNC machine?
I have a Windows machine to run my CNC, so...
Oh, yeah. Got you, okay. That was like, this CNC machine cuts out incredibly complex objects and still runs iTunes. That's a feature.
It can cut.
You can't hear a thing when that machine is running. It's like, yeah, it's loud.
It's not good, but...
It has a good rhythm. So that's when you play the crappy music.
Yeah. That's when I yell at my partner, because then he can't actually hear me.
That's very progressive. Does Karen know you've got a male partner?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very progressive.
Yeah. She says that we argue, and his wife also says we argue more than they argue or we argue, if you understand what I just said.
I've got no clue what you've just said.
We act more like a married couple than our actual other halves, because we are constantly yelling at each other.
No. I've got a wood shop next door to me. They make exhibition stands and stuff here. And my neighbour, Elliot, is brilliant. I love him to bits. But they've got a thing where they've got the saw, they've got the table saw running, and they're cutting like 1,000 pieces of wood out. So they turn the volume up on the stereo that they've got in there. And
That's what we do.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not the volume, because the thing is in here, sort of 50 feet away, and with through some sound insulation, all I get is thump, 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 thump. So after about an hour, I've got a headache. But I can't hear anything that they're playing. Summer is great because I can open the door, I can listen to everything that they're listening to free of charge, but not the rest of the time. Right, proper stories.
Something.
Aye, aye, who's that? Patrice?
That was me.
Kick the bucket. I thought this was a really interesting story, and I think this is quite an interesting point as far as Apple's concerned, because this is the kind of thing that they need if they're going to start making their headphones work. Netflix is working on adding support for spatial audio features, so the AirPods Pro and the AirPods Max could become very relevant.
That's pretty rad, actually, because
that's freaking awesome.
I'm watching this thing on Netflix right now. It's called Alice in Borderland, and it's a like a Japanese film. It's kind of an adventure game slash horror type film, and it would be so dope with the spatial audio.
Yeah,
pretty epic.
I just the thing I got in my head there was the parallel of kind of saying, right, if you're going to make a phone, then it's the apps that tie users in, not the phone itself. And if you're going to make a camera, then it's the lenses that tie the users in, not the camera itself. And with spatial audio, if you've got headphones, what ties the user in? Because actually, audio is audio, and it's a throwaway quantity, isn't it? So what ties it in is the people that support your audio features. And this is, I think, critical for Apple. Sorry, Patrice, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, the cool thing is, I mean, all they have to do is add 5.1 support, because that is literally what spatial audio takes. Like, it takes the 5.1 audio and then, like, arranges it. So
it's a no post-coding, though. It can't be just the 5.1 codec,
no,
surely.
No, it is literally just 5.1. Any 5.1 source on your device will work.
So that's like a 30-year-old technology, though. 5.1's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to support it in your content.
I'm
be too hard for Netflix.
I'm amazed. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm amazed at that, because, like I said, 5.1 is 30 years old, and if you're saying that full spatial audio that's in the earphones that Apple are currently making only requires 5.1, then every DVD I've got's 5.1 on it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to figure it's a decoder, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
The decoder can just take the standard DTS or Dolby 5.1 track and then decode, re-encode it into spatial audio. So it's more than it's just a plug-in.
Wow, because I got to say, my lame brain thought that there was more going on in terms of the direction of it, especially from behind.
Well, think of it like this. On your stereo, you have buttons to do these falsified modes. Right. So, for instance, on Sony, there's Cinema 1, 2, and 3. There's Music Hall, Large Hall, Concert Hall, Jazz Bar. You know what I mean? And then there's like the Direct, which is 1 amp to every speaker. So it's the same as pressing one of those buttons on almost any standard, you know, amplifier you bought from Tesco.
Right.
There's a lot going on in the background, but like. The input, the audio input itself is fairly standard.
Go on, Chuck.
Oh, no, that's really interesting. I did not know that, because I'm thinking, okay, if you've got center channel here, and then you've got two channels here, and then two channels back there, that's...
You'd have gone
5?
You'd have gone 7.1.
Well, that's 5, isn't it? That's 5.1.
Two front, two back, and one center.
And center, yeah. So
yeah, that's 5. And then
5.1 is two front, two back, and sub, isn't it?
No, this is. It's so simple. Center. You guys got this wrong. 5.1 is three fronts, left, right, center. I sold stereos for 30 years.
We're bowing to your greater knowledge.
And then sub is 5.1. 7.1 is left, right, center, mid, back, sub. And then 7.2 is left, right, center, mid, back, sub.
So you've got, I mean, even with only 5.1, you've got a lot of information that is now going to be living right where my AirPods are. So, you know, that it makes perfect sense, and you know, why somebody hasn't done it before is, I think, the bigger question.
I mean, there are some things that the AirPods can't do that a proper 5.1 system does, but it is pretty good.
This makes AirPods Pro more or Max, whatever the earmuffs are. It makes that much more compelling to me now.
Yes. Good no, point, Jeff.
Jeff, you're not rebuffing the Alzheimer's tag here at all.
You know, the caffeine will kick in by the time the show ends when it doesn't actually matter anymore.
Mate, it didn't matter at the start. Don't kid yourself.
Good point.
I was really quite psyched at this, but actually what I'm realizing is that everyone else in the audio space is pretty friggin' lame then. If you're not taking a fundamental 30-year-old codec and turning it into something that embraces and enhances your product.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who even put like the sensors in it to do it. Like, I mean, that was the that was the step that Apple did. They put like accelerometers and like some, like they put hardware in the devices so that it could even handle that. And I don't think anybody has done that.
So what we're saying is that the spatial experience with terms of Apple is the fact that if you turn your head, the audio turns with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, the important part.
Yeah. I thought that was a really impressive story, and I know that we've got one of the, in the BTN community, we've got a guy who is an Apple lover, but he's an Apple justifier, if you like, in that it's got to be something that works within his world, otherwise he's just not interested. And he bought the AirPods and he loathed them. He wouldn't have them anymore, got rid of them. And then for some reason, a moment of aberration, he bought the AirPods Pro. And he swears by them. He thinks they're the best thing since sliced bread, and says that the spatial audio is unbelievable. So, if he's saying they're good, they must be. Yeah,
it is. It is really good. Excuse me. It is really good. I've tried both. I've brought the Pros, and they're really, really, really good. I'm not any sort of audiophile or whatever you call them, but they are, from what is a relative layman, they are really, really good. Yeah, better than I thought a pair of in-ear phones could ever be, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm tempted, but there's a bit of me, because here's my AirPods, and they're charged, don't get me wrong, but I can't remember the last time I actually used them. And they sit on the desk, and I don't put them in my pocket, which limits that as well as, but I'm not, if I'm going down on the train for the day, I'll pick them up and I'll shove them in the briefcase. But I don't think to pick them up every single day and use them every day. But then Ellis and Kieran, they use theirs constantly in their house. They've always got them running. And Ellis is lost if he walks out of the house without them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I there's a bit of me thinks I'd like to buy a pair of AirPod Pros to try them. But then I'm worried that I'll buy them and I won't use them.
Mm.
That's
for me, the difference is between the, like, I have the old, like, the standard ones, just they don't charge that well anymore. But for me, the difference is night and day. Like, I actually don't like the old ones anymore. Like, I had to use them the other day because I had to get one replaced. There was an issue with the audio with the Pros. I hated the standard AirPods.
So you can tell that much of a difference. Right. Yeah, no, that's quite interesting. That's quite damning as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad, but compared to the Pros, they're shit.
That's okay, you can say that. If the slipper fits.
If you can get the seal. I mean, that to me is always the big question. If you can get them to fit right, then they are a game changer. But I know I struggled for a little while until I've kind of figured out how to put them in and use the right ear tip. And then they blow the old ones away. But there's still something to be said for just being able to pick up the old ones, which I'm wearing now, and, you know, stick them in and go and not have to finagle with getting that fit.
I'm lucky that
they have the test even on the old ones, though, right? If I remember correctly, the test has always been there. So, well, actually, I take that back. The new ones, because of the noise canceling, had the test. So, but if you run the test, it works. And I'm surprised at how many people didn't do it, although that was like the second instruction when you set them up.
Yeah, see the old ones, they never fitted my ears properly at all, not at all. So I went to a company called MTech, who are about 40 miles away, and I had my ears molded and I had these made, and then I had a gap left in the other side of them so that I could put the AirPods in. So these then,
I remembered.
Yeah, these fit in my ears, and then the AirPods fit in these, and they really enhance the bass. and they're absolutely beautiful, and they fit me absolutely perfectly. And in terms of noise cancelling, because of the fact they're snug in my ear and the AirPod is then snug inside them, they're effectively noise cancelling. You don't hear anything hardly when this is on. And that's going dope. Right.
Even the nice. SpinFit adapters, which are like $10, SpinFit adapters just make it even more comfortable, and they fit like a dream.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're designed to flex a little bit, so you get better fit.
So I had one made in red and one in green, so port and starboard, so I knew which ear they fitted in. And of course, the green one's keying out on the video feed, but they were £80 for the pair. And
that's actually pretty genius to do it in two different colors, so you can grab and go when you're on the fly or you're busy or you're out.
Yeah. They're good, but they cost me £80, and because I don't use my AirPods, I don't use them much either. And I bought three pairs.
But when you do, boy, they sound good.
Oh, they sound amazing, mate. If I stick the AirPods in those, the bass is enhanced for some reason. I guess it's to do with penetration, because bass frequency is it's a long low wave, isn't it? So it gets through far easier than the high tones. And they actually make the AirPods sound even better than they really do. So they're good. And I just... But there's a bit of me like, actually, if I could get the AirPod Pros and shove those in there, maybe.
It has to do with penetration.
It's to do with penetration, absolutely. But we're not using that as a title because that'll get banned. iOS 14.4 beta is about to be released for developers, but there's an interesting development in it, and I'm keen to hear what Callum thinks of this. Instead of potentially your iPhone just saying, stuff off, you're not having this camera part, it will say that it's a non-genuine camera part. So we've gone from the right to repair being stuff off, you're not repairing it, you're not even swapping it with another iPhone, to the point now that we're getting a warning that says that there is something that's not in there. Is this a climb down to avoid the EU getting some grief going?
I'd say so, yeah. I think that's a reasonable kind of halfway house, if you like. I think, Apple are well within their rights to say, hey, look, you haven't had a genuine part put in your phone, which is fine. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it's implemented, whether it's a case of, because I know that we can get genuine parts that are genuinely genuine, but yeah, is it going to be a case of it's had to go through a service and an authorized service center for you to be able to say that, or is it going to be, yeah, it's a genuine Apple part, it's come from an Apple factory, that's fine. I suspect it's going to be a case of you'd have had to take it to Apple to be able to have the phone not have that warning on it, which isn't great, but better than it not working at all.
I think it's a good compromise. Like, it's a compromise between protecting the customers, because I mean, there have been cases where someone thought they got a genuine part and then they didn't, and it will tell them that, but also allowing people who don't care or don't want to spend the money or can't spend the money to get a part and for it to work still.
I still think the sort of issue that I take with it is, you know, obviously we'll have to wait and see, and we won't know for a little while, but if I have my iPhone X and I change the camera in it, I know I've got a genuine camera. Say I buy another iPhone X and change the camera from that to that, that is a genuine Apple part. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to pop up and say, no, that's not the right part. And then even though it is a genuine part, which puts people like me in a pickle, because I give someone a phone back after I've done something on it and it says you haven't had a genuine part, and I'm sitting there going, but I've put a genuine part in. So yeah, it's better than nothing, but it's still not quite right, I don't think.
Has it been made clear yet as to how often this warning is going to pop up?
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to pop up the first time that you start it up and after the repair, or is it going to be a constant thing?
Yeah, no, that was my concern as well, because Apple's not good at the piss off button, is it?
In my experience, when I've seen it with newer phones, with them battery changes on and screen changes on, where again we've used genuine parts and it's popped up saying it's not a genuine part or it's potentially not a genuine part, it's much like when there's a Touch ID or Face ID failure, it pops up when you first boot it and then you clear it and then you're okay until you reboot it again. But again, it could create other issues as to, you know, stuff I've seen in the past where you're all right if you put the part in, but then if you try to update the phone, does that cause activation issues and all sorts of stuff like that? So I have seen a lot of stuff in the past where it can cause issues further along the line than just having a warning pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Doc, anything to weigh in on?
Kyle doesn't like my answers.
No, you've got your own opinions, mate. It's perfectly fine.
No, I just think it's a thing that people still can't wrap their head around, that phones are at a position now where they're, you know, couple, 2-3 years disposable, and it sucks. I got it, but that's what it is. So let's just make it happen. And then if you break it midstream, you know, accidents do happen, then just let the people who made it fix it, because that's what they want to do. It's their product. They want to make sure you have the best experience. And none of this would be a problem right now if it wasn't for the kind of guys that aren't iMin Max, that are out there doing shady stuff, that got customers in a bad position that they went and attacked Apple for, and then Apple had to protect themselves. So if it wasn't for, you know, Jack Weevils out here doing shady stuff, we wouldn't be here. But now we're here, and then it's like a fight between entire, like, you know, amalgamations of countries and a corporation. They're trying to protect themselves. These guys are trying to protect their users. And we're just in a mess because people want to be D-bags. And it's irritating.
I just ignore it
because I don't have their problem, number one. I don't drop my stuff. And number two, if I did, I'd probably just buy a new one because I don't like it like that. I have insurance on it. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons why I don't never have to change my screen. I've cracked one screen in 12 years, and it was stupid.
Is Jack Weevil a real bloke?
Yes, he took a dump on the car.
I hope not,
because
I don't want to get sued. Okay. But
just to clarify, the Doc's opinions are all
messy.
His own.
It's super messy, and it didn't have to be this way, but it all started because there's outfits not like, you know, Joe and Cal guys and Mo that, and now because of them, everybody has to jump through hoops. And I can't stand ballistic packaging because some dudes decided to keep stealing stuff. And so now we got to like need surgery to open something as simple as a SD card. When you buy an SD card from Costco, the package is this big.
Yeah.
Like that's more wasteful because more SD cards go out than, you know, anyway, never mind.
I love the comments that are on this story. So what I'm going to do is take my phone, empty all the genuine parts out, buy stolen parts, and then sell them on eBay. Good news, now resellers have to be honest. Sells genuine parts to end users then. I'll take an SSD and a battery from a 2015 Retina i 15-inch MacBook Pro, please, and shove that in. And I was going to try and solder a 32-core AMD chip onto it. I guess that won't work now.
I don't think that would have worked beforehand, if I'm honest. It's bigger than the phone, one of those, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, you just love the fact you're walking around with the thinnest phone that Apple have ever made, but you've got a 4 terabyte SSD on the back of it. Twice the size.
Well, I take a lot of photos of turds on Jeff's bonnet, so I need a lot of storage.
Yeah, this checks out.
I want to back up Doc a little bit, though, and Apple, too, because Apple's going to be the one that if something goes wrong with one of those repairs, they're going to get the call. And, you know, I would find it annoying as the devil if, you know, I give you something or I do something and then somebody else calls me and says, hey, you know, I did this over here, but it didn't work. Can you fix it? And then the answer becomes, okay, I either fix it for double the price or I just don't fix it.
Yeah.
And I don't find this as objectionable. Cal, I'm with you, though. You know, it's got to be right 100% of the time. You know, if that message comes up and it says it's not a genuine part, it has to not be a genuine part. But beyond that, you know.
I think
test is easy to cause mistakes, right?
Well,
I think
yeah.
No, I think there's a good point there, because what Chuck's saying is, if you do the iPhone camera module swap from one 12 to another 12, and it comes up and says it might be a non-genuine part, that's naughty, because that ain't right.
Right. And to be honest, that is what Apple do and what I think will happen. You know, I love Apple products. I use them every day, but I also see some of the things that they do, and I think there's protecting your brand. And then I do think occasionally they go a step further than that. And I think, you know, this could be a case in point where we see, you know, people like me taking a genuine part and then it having flagging up saying it's not a genuine part. And you know, that puts people and businesses like ours in you know, real sort of difficult positions, because you know, we do right by our customers,
but might not be a genuine part. And the thing is, it's like, this is not the original part, but it is an original part, and it's not discerning between the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be totally happy with, if I put a £5 battery in my phone, it pops up saying, well, there's a £5 battery, you're blowing my phone up, please stop. Look, that's fair enough, that's absolutely fine. But at this moment in time, if I go to one of our suppliers, buy a genuine battery for my iPhone X, put it in the phone, it's going to pop up and say, sorry, I can't give you a readout on the battery percentage, because it's not the battery the phone came with, and you haven't had it fixed by Apple.
Yeah, but see, here's the one problem.
Canon have done that.
What you're saying is 100% right, but I'm gonna tell you, here's the one problem with that. Number one, these parts are so small, like this, just a piece of dust or something like that could cause the miss trigger. But also, they probably had to do that because they needed a stopgap because of the just idiotic lawsuits or whatever. So there is seriously no department at Apple sitting around going, let me think how to screw you guys out of more money. They make enough money. And any business that does that would normally get found out very quickly and normally goes away very quickly. But when the story comes out the way that it's reported, or the story even comes out the way that you said it from your experience, and I'm not saying your experience are wrong, it sounds like there's a group of guys like us sitting around in a room going, we could make an extra $1,250 if we make them have to buy a new camera module. That's, nobody does that in a billion-dollar, multi-trillion-dollar company. Almost. That's just. That's pure insanity.
There's a simpler explanation for that. It's stolen parts, like phones. I mean, especially with activation lock and everything nowadays, it's harder to like resell entire phones.
No, no. Cal's talking about 12 to 12 though. Like, if he took this 12, which he knows works because it was working, and he takes another 12 and he swapped the camera, it might false identify. But I'm saying, I don't think they've spent a lot of time making an identification system perfect, because it's a rarity. But that's more logical than they're going, ooh, let me just jack you for some more money. They're not doing that, bro.
I think they have a business case.
They make money and they work at that, but they're not making the snake money. Let's put it that way.
No. And I think I'm not saying that. I don't think they're coming at it from a financial point of view. You've said it previously in previous shows where they're coming at it from a, you know, protecting their brand point of view, which I totally respect. And, you know, we would and do, and, you know, all of you people would as well. But I think they take it a bit too far, to the point where it's,
you can't deny there's a financial implication to it, whether it's generated and engineered or not. There is a financial implication.
Yes, but I don't think it's financially driven.
It's like certain laws. There's laws that are so ignorant that they mess up everybody, but they have to exist because of the handful of people that do something dumb. And then what makes those laws hard for the police and the lawyers and the judges is they're kind of hard to enforce. And this is the situation right here. This thing is put there in order to protect everyone involved, but it's kind of hard to enforce. And who has the worst of it? The cops. In this case, Cal. Who's the cops? So he's stuck in the middle of a dumb law and protecting the people, so to speak.
Stuck in the middle with Cal.
This is kind of a no-win situation for Apple, because they do need to protect their brand, and like Patrice said, there are people out there that steal iPhones and then strip them down and resell the parts, and so now you could end up with stolen parts in a phone, and then you have the non-genuine stuff. So how does Apple balance all of that and not
take
end
the camera
up
out.
Looking like the jerk?
Just take the camera out.
Yeah.
Just forget.
Just like stop like, selling phones.
Great point. Great point. Why didn't we think of that before?
That'll do it. That'll help business on our end. Right, good.
Min Chi Kuo, who we love and respect dearly, and who's always right, has said that new Mac Pro models will come with flat edge design. So that's taking it back a little while. No touch bar. I can't see that myself. More ports. Well, that's going to be good because that indicates a chip upgrade if you've got more ports, I suppose. And best of all, MagSafe. So Apple are going to go back on MagSafe and the touch bar and admit they were wrong, allegedly.
I'm going to believe it when I see it.
Thanks, Min.
Agreed, Patrice.
No touch bar. Yeah, his track record is not very good. And
Keep quoting the little bugger.
Because Jeff had it perfectly explained last week, and I don't want to try to ruin it, but Jeff's explanation last week as to how this happens is spot on.
Okay. I didn't hear it,
but
okay.
Watch last week's show.
I need to watch last week's
Jeff
show, yeah.
Repeat himself.
I'll put that's the title for last week's show is Jeff's explanation.
There we go.
We're sorted. Because Jeff couldn't remember what happened last week.
This is true. Yeah, that's really awesome when you say, so did you talk about this specific thing? And then I immediately and emphatically say, oh, no, we didn't talk about that. And it was the first topic and the biggest topic we had.
And someone said we talked about this last week. Yeah. In a note to investors that was obtained by MacRumors, he suggested, now the thing is, right, the touch bar is an abomination. It needs to be burned alive, or it needs to find another way of getting palm rejection and going either side of the trackpad to be functional. And that would be great. Two glass screens either side of the trackpad that did touch bar functionality that had palm rejection on them would be superb. Thank you, Doc. You know I'm right.
Why stop right there?
And hang on.
Why not just take out
the trackpad
and make that whole area
a glass,
a touch space
with palm rejection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple, you friggin' owe us, Apple. When you make that, you make sure you. We're gonna cite this when you put a patent in. We're gonna cite this as prior art.
Would this fits perfectly in a 16-inch MacBook Pro after the space bar?
So you get
this entire iPhone 12 Max. Now you don't need all the rest, the battery and the camera and all of that. So you can get it skinny. You need basically the what do they call it, Cal? The decoder? The screen decoder?
You've just got a slot that's milled out of aluminium with a lightning connector, and you just slide it in and drop it down, and your phone opens the computer because you've got the face recognition or the thumbprint, and then it's your touchpad and all, and your clicker.
Oh, even better. What if they had just a hole? So you can do it like a car phone faceplate.
Trust me, mate. I've fallen down many holes and they're all shit.
Take your phone and just go boop, and then you're
That's
good.
That's what I'm saying. Now you put it in, you slide
your
it,
phone,
and it goes, wiggles
Hello,
in.
Hello, governor.
And then you just talk about it on the phone, don't you? The phone rings, you just answer it on your Mac. You don't need to go, hello, governor.
Now you see why we don't design stuff for Apple. Kyle's like going the repair nightmare of that.
Aren't there some apps that do not exactly what you're talking about, but allow you to use your phone as a trackpad or a touchpad for it?
Yep.
Yes.
And I can't for the life of me think what they are.
So why aren't Apple Sherlocking them and doing this then?
It would be dope to just put like a whole screen for the touchpad. And even if it's like you got to hold the key to switch it back and forth, it's still dope.
But Patrice, you've got to put something in this show when it goes up on the server that locks it so that it cannot be removed in the six-week Exodus thing. Because then when in a year's time, when they've released this, we can come back and go, prior art, you owe us. Apple, you owe us. Big time. If there's anyone listening from Apple, they're probably sitting there shaking their head going, that's like $1 billion just gone in these idiots' morons' minds. They have no idea what they're talking about. And they send me
I've tried it all for some genuine
and then
batteries.
They'll send me an email that just says wanker on it. From jim@apple.com, wanker.
I've tried it all for some genuine batteries, though.
Yeah.
If you any chance.
Seriously, though, MagSafe has got to come back. Because the number of times in the last 3 months since MagSafe disappeared that I've yanked my power supply out of my MacBook Pro and I was grateful that it had MagSafe on is inordinate. It is the biggest omission Apple have ever made in the product line. MagSafe was the bollocks. Oh, is there anyone going to even remotely disagree with me?
Nope.
How many MacBook Pros have stayed on desks because of MagSafe? You know I'm right.
Yeah. I see it. I mean, up until the sort of MagSafe 30 USB-C and Thunderbolt bolt came in, I never saw it. It was always, you know, and then suddenly when the new generation of them came in, we started getting them in with, I pulled the cable and it fell off the bedside table or fell off the table or whatever. And it was, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think they should keep USB-C because it got a lot of work for us actually thinking about it. But, MagSafe's very good.
Yeah. Did it close the video file of the film that you were making before it fell off the bedside table? Or is it still open? Do I need to close that before I can view it? Boom.
I'd rather not say, but we have had a couple of them.
Yeah. Really? Did you keep them?
Where you get it working and then what was on the screen pops up. Yeah.
Nice.
No,
not nice. Okay, sorry. And of course, you wouldn't, being a professional organisation, you would never have kept that.
God, no. No. You wouldn't want to.
Okay. Muller's taking the piss out of Doc and saying that his British accent's not very good and he's calling him Doc Van Dyke.
You know the best thing about this, Muller? I'm not an actor, so my British accent doesn't have to be good. And no matter what happens...
Oh, Jesus, just laugh, Doc. It's a good line. Doc Van Dyke is excellent. It's as good as Doc. So it's as good as Doc Mode, at least.
I'm just saying, no matter what happens, I'll always be cooler than him, so it doesn't matter what he says.
That's the trouble with Americans.
Like Michael
they don't
Posner.
Laugh at himself.
I'm cooler than you.
I went Doc Mode on my Mac.
Doc Mode.
Have you got your aircon on, Doc?
I should rename it. Let's rename it Doc.
It comes with spatial audio, Jeff.
What, Doc Mode?
Sweet.
Yeah.
5-point swing-a-ding one.
It's just Dolby 5.1 sellotape to an iMac.
Doc 5.1. Doc Mode.
I'm 5.4.
CEO, Doc Van Dyke. Okay. I'll stop now. Apple has maintained its position at the head of the wearables market in 2020. According to Counterpoint Research, Apple products comprised 29% of the true wireless stereo shipment in Q3 of 2020. That's a lot. That's a fudging huge amount.
I just think they should moonwalk for all of the people that swore it was really stupid to make watches.
I don't think watches... do watches make up a bigger part of that? 28% of the smartwatch shipment. I'm going to say, right, that there's not a lot of smartwatches, so I don't know if 28% is a huge proportion. I mean, in terms of finance, it's a great proportion, I'm sure. There's good money there. But how many decent smartwatches are out there?
None.
No, Doc, just put your Apple head to one side and just go, there's four.
I don't even think about Apple head. Sometimes when I say these things, you guys just think I'm fanboying. None. The Fitbit is cool. It's not really the same. The Galaxies are cool. They're not really the same. The only one that is fully baked, ecosystem, whole nine yards, is Apple Watch. It has nothing to do with fandom.
Okay. Apple doesn't pay me, so I can give a rat's a about it. If I gave you that point, what you're saying is that in a 100% market that is Apple Watch, Apple can only sell 28%. That's shit.
No. See, your math is wrong, fam.
No. You're not listening. Market. See, the fanboys kicked in, and you're not listening.
I'm gonna let you win. Go ahead. You're done. I quit. No, you don't listen.
No, dude.
The market is there. all of the things that look like watches are fine to the people that buy them that are thinking that they're getting a watch. But then when they get one, all of my friends that have watches that are not Apple watches, they like the time part is cool, the heartbeat thing is cool, but like it doesn't do much else. Or, you know, or they start justifying stuff that doesn't make sense. But like none of the ecosystems are baked the way the Apple one is. So it's not 100% of the market, because the market exists where there's facsimiles of a timepiece which wraps around your wrist.
But you're going to listen back to this show and realize what I actually said.
Excuse me?
You're going to listen back to this show and realize what I actually said and not be offended then.
I'm not offended. You said in 100% market, they only own 28%.
No, so you're saying the only smartwatches out there is the Apple Watch, and I'm saying, well, that's crap, because on 100% market, which is only the Apple Watch, they've only sold 28%. Yeah,
no,
that's
okay. It's not the only smartwatch, it's the only one that's...
No, dude, if I have to explain it, it'll take away from the humor.
That we need a definition of smartwatch. That's what we need.
I'm thinking, right, there is four, maybe five smartwatches out there. And if there's only four or five smartwatches out there, 28% share is not huge. If there's only three out there, it's even shittier. If there's 1,000 smartwatches out there, then 28% is incredible. That's my point.
But where'd you come up with there's only four smartwatches? There's hundreds.
I said if, dude. If I say if, that means I'm talking bollocks and I haven't really thought this through and I'm just making something up off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
I qualify the fact that I'm an idiot by saying if.
I think they should stop selling Apple Watches as well.
Apple should stop selling Apple Watches?
Yeah, because just do away with them.
Mate, Apple could stop selling Apple Watches, they'd still have 28% of the market.
Yeah, they probably would, yeah.
God, that was a really sensible point I made. How many smartwatches are there out there? Question.
Well, but I'm back to my comment. How many? What's the definition of a smartwatch? And then we can figure out how many there are.
Doc's definition of a smartwatch is anything that's Apple and nothing else. So that doesn't work. So
no, see, that wasn't it. So you missed the whole point. I said the only one that's big. The Garmin, okay, really? Smartwatch? That Garmin thing is a piece of crap. The random fossils, no. They're every brand. Takora has one. All of the chronograph people have smartwatches, some of them in the crazy amounts of money. But none of them are the same. I'm just saying. The closest thing would probably be the Galaxy. That's why I was saying the point, if there's only five or six, is mute, because every major horroristic company out there has a watch, a smartwatch.
I know now that the video feed has caught up for Chuck. There we go.
It's caught up for me as well.
And I'm trying to do a punditry show, and you're trying to do comedy that sucks, so I get confused. Oh, if it was funny, I would have fell out.
Oh!
Take that.
You've been on Leo too much. You're getting serious, dude.
Hey, you know.
You need to come back into the fam, mate, and just be lighthearted about yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously.
No, you guys just love to throw around that unnecessary fanboy crap, and it's whack, because you're saying that my mentality for my product knowledge
is
because it's pretty.
Dude, you've got to go back and listen to this section of the show, and you'll realize why we're not taking the piss out of you. I was making the point, if you're talking about there are only three or four smartwatches, 28% is shit. If you're saying there are 1,000 smartwatches, then 28% is friggin' unbelievable. But Chuck's point about what's a smartwatch, if we actually went through in our heads and say, name the smartwatches, you can't put Fitbit in as a smartwatch. It's just not a smartwatch. The Galaxy,
the
you could say...
wearables. Let's just start with that. You jacked it up the minute you converted the category topic.
No, sorry. I think if you read the story, which I have, it says the Apple Watch made up 28% of all smartwatch shipments. Smartwatch. It's 28% of all smartwatches, because I read the story.
Okay, when you made the title, you said wearables.
Yeah, and then I said Apple made up 28% of all smartwatch shipments.
Okay. I said you win like 20 minutes ago.
No, you don't have to give in, mate. I don't need you to capitulate. I just need to listen to what I'm saying.
You are awesome.
Oh, no, you're not listening. You need to go back to this section of the story, and you'll be really embarrassed, mate.
I don't get embarrassed.
Just
I walk around the city in a G-string. I don't get embarrassed.
While you two have been flirting, I went and looked up some data. Statista says in 2020, and this is just for United States, unfortunately, not worldwide, smartwatch sales, 22.6 million units.
Million with an M.
Right. So there are 26 million smartwatches. That's great. How many manufacturers does that cover, Jeff?
That it doesn't say. Or maybe I have to actually buy the report to see that.
Yeah, see, that's my point, is the fact that if you're talking about that they're comparing it to a Samsung watch and another Apple, another Android watch and something else, then 28% is a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but it's not a huge market share. But if you're saying that there's 100 smartwatches out there, 28% is frigging unbelievable. It is.
And I'm telling you, there's close to 100 out there, because my main point of this story is there are tons of watches that, unless you're a fashion person, you don't know exist. And I'm trying to tell you, outside of nerddom, there are smartwatches everywhere. I mean, like, you would be amazed at some of the companies that have smartwatches. And that's what I'm trying to – just pull up Uncrate and then sort by smartwatches.
Okay.
Then you'll see there's
lots. I'll commission a study this week.
You got car manufacturers giving smartwatches.
Okay.
There are hundreds of smartwatches. I mean,
that's my entire point.
Well, that was my – no, I wasn't saying you were wrong. I was asking the question. So now we've got that sorted, then, and we've all fallen out. Bollocks, we're going to finish the show. Bollocks. That's it. This podcast and all the others.
Yeah, but the makeup sex is going to be great.
Oh, next week, mate. next week, there's going to be tongues down throats and all sorts. This podcast and all this is brought to you. No, it's just we're at 56 minutes. I didn't do it because we fell out. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Hosts. Superb people that look after us, give us all the bandwidth, give us the servers, and make sure that we stay on the air. Now, if you want us to go off the air, and after the last 20 minutes you probably do, then don't buy anything from them and don't give them any recognition on social media. If you do, then go to buy your hosting services and domain names and all that kind of stuff off them and put in the offer code BTN20, you get 20% off, and they will love you to bits and love us to bits. If you don't do that because you don't need anything, that's fair enough. Not everyone needs everything all the time. Then get yourself out on the socials and say, at TSO Host, why on earth do you support British Tech? Because all they do is argue and Doc and you and fall out with each other. And tweet that out and they will love you to bits forever. There you go. Sorted. Love you, brother.
I'm not mad.
You're
I'm
a grumpy shit. You are a grumpy shit. I love you. I love you like.
And when I get the only thing that irritates me is when people try to win by when you say something that makes sense, they go, "Oh no, you're a fanboy." Because that's just short dicking yourself.
I ain't got a brother, but if I had one, I'd make sure it wasn't someone like you. I'd love it to be someone like you. That's that came out all wrong. I'd love it to be someone like you, Doc. Yeah, there we go. You are my brother from another mother.
You guys are mental.
It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock.
No, yeah, it's early. I'm going to be like Jeff and bring my cat.
No, what you need to bring to this show is whiskey. Right. The next people on the list are iMen Max. And I'm just going to stop at this point and have a drink from my iMen Max mug.
The mug where everything tastes better.
Oh, it does. It doesn't taste like Diet Coke anymore. It tastes like Malbec.
But is it genuine coffee or is it like a substitute coffee in there?
I don't know I do know what's in here, but it's a genuine iMen Max mug. And it's got a nice, lovely little grey key line around the top. And that's the bit that really impressed me because that's like attention to detail. See, it's not just a logo slapped on the front. It's a nice mug with a bit of key line around the top. If you would like one of these mugs, you can have one of them. But you're going to have to write and beg to iMen Max.
And if you've actually ran out of mugs, that's why you only got two.
And if you're Dark Rock, then you're going to get no chance.
don't drag me into this. I'm not interested.
iMen Max. iMen Max support the network, and they are absolutely fantastic. You need to send your stuff to them. If you've got a problem with your Apple stuff, and it's got an Apple logo on it, even if it's got fabric on it, allegedly, they can repair it. Make sure you get it over to them. iMenMax.co.uk.com.
Either. .com.
com, and you can get it fixed. They also do refurbished machines, so take your old machine, shove a nice SSD in there, a little bit of extra memory, it costs you a few quid, and the thing flies like it's a brand new machine. And you haven't got to talk, you know, you're not going back to like really, really old stuff, just something of a few years would really improve with that. So get in touch with the boys and girl at IMN Max, and they will sort you out. Now, Callum, A, have we got a machine of the week? And B, tell us about your initiative to help one of the charities that we look after, Free at Last.
Yeah, so I'll start with the machine of the week. We've got a lot of older iMacs at the moment. Everything is on the website. Obviously you get your 5% off if you mention BTN as well. If you head over to imnmax.com/refurbs, I believe it is, and then just have a quick scroll through. If there's anything you want, let us know, and we'll take that 5% off and get it shipped out to you. As you were mentioned, obviously here in the UK, we're in our third lockdown, I think, and the schools have been closed, and all of the kids are having to do homeschooling. So what we thought we would do, we would take people's old machines that they don't want, that are in drawers on shelves.
We're talking anything here. We're talking about a desktop, an iPad, anything like that at all.
Absolutely any device, we will take it, we will fix it, and we will donate it to one of Birmingham's local charities that helps disadvantaged kids. IT poverty is something that's really been highlighted at the moment because kids are having to work from home. We're hearing all sorts of stories about families having to, you know, share one device between three kids to try and do work, and it's, you know, it's just not right. Every kid needs an education, so we're trying to do just our little bit to help people get that. So we have a page up on our website. If you go to imnmax.com, all of the details are on there. Even if you just fill out a booking form, it will get to the right place. Just so we can do our little bit to help.
So Free at Last is a charity here in Birmingham. It's based in Neatcells. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most deprived areas of Birmingham. Your expectation of life in Neatcells compared to somewhere like Mere Green, which is only six stops away on the train, is about 16 years less because of the pollution in the area. And it's not particularly great in terms of the nutrition value and things like that because of the low-income groups that are in there. They are people that have helped us, me, over the years, and I try and give much back to them as I can possibly do. If you go to smile.amazon.co.uk or smile.amazon.com and you register for a charity there, please pick Free at Last, because every time you buy something from Amazon, it doesn't cost you a penny extra, but they get 0.2% or something like that of your purchase price, and it will make a difference to them. To keep the net, to keep them running, just to physically make sure that the infrastructure and all the bills are paid, they need £30,000 a month. And there's a thing called the 3,000 Club. You give £10 a month, rather, and if 3,000 people do that, that covers all of their basic bills, so then every other penny that comes in can go straight into helping the families that are supported by it. Christmas Day, me and the family went out there and we delivered stuff to local families who couldn't afford a Christmas meal. And it's there's people like that out there. It's not all nirvana for a lot of people. So please, please, please do what you can. Give what you can to Callum and get them some IT that will work for them. Brilliant. Right, time for the cool thing. Muller's put in the chat room, Ewan, if you want to land that dock, you're going to need a bigger boat. Doc, have you got a cool thing?
Absolutely. You said not to text you, but I'm texting you anyway because IRC is not working for me, and that's okay. And speaking of IRC, what's that dude's name? Callum, tell Joe to check his email before they cancel it again.
What?
Okay, there you go. I'm talking about the OWC Thunderbolt Hub. I said it. We have been talking about this forever. Why doesn't anybody just make a Thunderbolt Hub? And they did it. They made a Thunderbolt Hub. And the biggest problem with most of the hubs on the market, including something as lovely as my all-time favorite
Cal Digit,
once you have two Thunderbolt ports and one of them is required to connect the computer. So what was always irritating is after you connected that one, you had one more to do everything else, and it was just kind of irritating. So these guys said, you know what, we're going to fix this, and they came out with not one but two new hubs. The first one is a little bitty one. It costs $150, what is that, 160 pounds, and it basically gives you one Thunderbolt in the front with at this weird placement, but I'm sure there's a reason behind it. There's one Thunderbolt in the front that you connect to your computer, and then you have three functioning Thunderbolts in the back, wide open for you to do your thing.
Wow.
Then it also has a super speed port, which was also kind of handy. That's the cheap one. And the dope part about that, 60-watt powers, it gives you a little bit of extra something-something if you need that. But they're Thunderbolt 4, by the way, so they're not just, you know, standard Thunderbolt 3. And then on the other dock, which is come out, you have, again, the one master in the front, the three in the back, but then they give you some other ports like the Ethernet and a couple other super speed ports and a headphone port and a slot to put your SD card in. I don't know if it's a US2 because I didn't find that on the site, but I didn't look hard enough either because I just use a separate reader for that on my camera because my pictures are big. I don't ever expect these things to be UHS-2, but anyway, fantastic. 150 for a functioning Thunderbolt hub. And why this is important, if you happen to be an M1 owner like myself, then it comes in handy because it actually will help you use the two lanes that are in there so everyone can stop crying that it doesn't have enough ports.
It is an issue.
Those are your ports.
Yeah, it's a cry. It makes me irritated because people don't know how to know their tech or read properly. There's two physical ports.
No, I think what people are saying separate. Is I've just spent $1,000 on the machine and I've got to buy 168 quid worth of stuff.
The machine costs $700.
Oh, okay. Sorry for being picky. I think right, that's the issue that they're mentioning.
Anyway, they're two separate ports. They're not sharing. So as long as you hub them properly, then they're actually more ports than even on the physical machines where they're all sharing a single Thunderbolt traffic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can't speak right now. It's early in the morning. Those two ports are more powerful than the four ports on this $4,000 iMac. Let's just put it that way. And if you would just properly read, you would know that, and then you don't have to complain because you can just, you can buy a $30 regular one for one side and then a $150 USB hub, which you should always use in the first place. On the other side, I'm sorry, Thunderbolt 4 hub, and then you have all the ports in the planet. And like Satechi just came out with a 10 port. I'm sorry, not Satechi. CalDigit just came out with a 10 port this week. So it's just whining. I don't like whiners.
In fairness, Doc, because of what you said in last week's show, I'm probably going to get myself a Mac Mini now rather than a MacBook.
I'm already decided that the next machine I buy, I'm going to buy a very basic M1, a Mac Mini, and see how it compares to me trash can. And it's probably
dude, I can tell you
fine.
Right now, my $699 Mac Mini runs circles around my $4,000 fully loaded iMac, with one exception. If I'm running a Final Cut plugin that is extremely procedural or something that uses high GPU, which is like two out of my 40 plugins, that's the only thing that the iMac will win over. But every other standard issue, doing your work, like getting stuff done, is better. Now, the other thing that I got to warn folks about, if you keep telling yourself you need a notebook for no reason, you can literally buy two minis for cheaper than a decently spec'd notebook. Two minis will cost you $1,400.
Yeah. But they're a bit they're a bit bulky and they got no screen.
No, I got most, no I'm just, we're talking, Cal's situation was I needed a notebook because I got to go from the office to the house. And I was like, no, Cal, you need to go like this and then get two basic screens because he's not doing what we do. Like, we buy $500, $600, $700 screens, but he don't. He don't need that.
No.
So he can buy $150 screens or $100 screens, and then he's better off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Hence why I'm buying a Mac Mini.
You're getting upset because you're not hearing the things that we're saying, Doc. So just chill out, dude.
I'm not upset. I was forcibly. Man, you got me confused. You want to see upset? Oh, I can show you upset. Hold on.
This is what if we were an episode of Friends, this would be the one where Doc got really upset for no good reason. Jeff, for God's sake, pick something that's not contentious.
Okay, then I'm going to pick something that
Teledildonics.
Yeah. Oh my God. okay. So my pick is a Mac app called Meta Image. Excuse me. And it's an app that its sole purpose is to let you go in and look at all the metadata in photographs, digital photographs. And you can also edit the data in the photographs as well. And this is something that came up for me because a friend asked me, how could they go and look at the EXIF data, like all the EXIF data in an image that they had, but they're not like a Photoshop user, and they just needed something that was going to let them do it easily. And I'm like, well, here you go, because it has a nice interface. You just drag the image in, and it shows you everything you could possibly want to know about this about the photo. And it's $18, unless you have SetApp, in which case it's just there.
SetApp, brilliant. Okay. I don't know how I feel about editing EXIF data, I have to say.
The big thing for me was it's easy to just see all of the stuff in an image. And okay, here's where I see editing EXIF data useful. If you need to post a photo on a online service somewhere, and you need to make sure that, like, you know, like it's something that you shot in your home, and you need to make sure people can't find your home. You don't want stalkers. Here you go. You can just scrub out all the EXIF data.
Okay. I like that. But you do know there is quite a lot of information on your right click. So if you right click the file, you'll get everything that's in the EXIF data to read. I mean, you've got to do each individual file, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they wanted something where they could do more.
Right. Okay.
And they did have a bunch of images too. So there you go. And if you have SetApp, you're set.
SetApp's great. Brilliant. Love that. Always going to go with SetApp. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So my pick today is part of a two-part pick. And if you have not listened to the big show, then you should, so you know what I picked there. The second part is an app called Heart Reports. So I was in need of exporting my heart rate data into like a PDF with graphs and whatever to send it to one of my doctors because they requested that. So I looked for it, and there is a really good, really nice, well-designed app. Very simple, does exactly what you want, but it's multilingual. Like you can actually, like, I mean, English is the default, but you can export the chart as a PDF in German, which was very handy because, like, I wasn't sure whether the doctors here even speak English. It's $2.99, but I mean, that is super cheap for what it does. You can export the data into CSV files as well, or whatever, if you need to. As I said, well designed. It works really well. Integrates with the health app. Gets all the data from there. Gives you enough options so you can customize what you need. Like, do you include like your fitness data, or do you like what kind of data do you need? But not so many options that it's like overwhelming. You don't even know what to select. Like, it has like two or three options per category, and that's it. Very simple. The PDF looks amazing. Everything on there you need. I sent it off. The doctor was happy. So it has, I think.
Well, you're like 24. Almost a 5-star review.
Sorry?
You're like 24. I would hope the doctor was happy.
No, I'm not 24. I'm not 24.
Jesus, 24 with 30 years experience.
No, I'm 24 with 30 years experience.
It was just, so am I. It was a joke.
Yeah. No, it is a really, really, really good app, and if you need that that kind of export, then yeah, $2.99. So I think that's a steal.
Yeah, and if the report says zero, well, you don't need to worry.
You're dead.
Exactly. Chuck, what have you got for us?
I don't mean to be contentious, so I'm not competing with Doc, but I have a Doc. oops. This is a pluggable 7-in-1 USB-C hub adapter. I got this just a little while ago. I've tested it out. Everything seems to test out just like it's represented. Has two USB ports on it, one USB-C port that is also Thunderbolt, 87-watt pass-through charging, an HDMI port, and an Ethernet port on the end. This is like the perfect little dock to throw in my backpack, you know, if I ever go anywhere again, to add ports to my MacBook Air. And best of all, Right now, it's $24.95 on Amazon, and you can get $2 off. There's a little coupon that you can clip to take $2 off.
Really?
So for all that, oh, and I'm sorry, I forgot. SD and mini SD card slots as well.
Yeah, that was appealing to me.
Yeah, away. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no.
It's metal, and it's well. It feels like it's really well built. But this is the thing, and this is something I've talked about plenty of times before. If you're one of those people like me that likes to put a case on your MacBook or MacBook Pro to protect it, then all those little docks that just have the pieces coming out here to slide in, no matter how thin that case is, it's going to be just enough to break the connection. So you actually want something with a plug and a cable that sits outboard and can slide in there, and then you've got all your ports accessible. So for $24.95, $2 off right now, that's kind of hard to beat, as even if something is just a backup to a backup.
Yeah, excellent. Be careful when buying, because there's two versions. One's got an Ethernet and one's got an HDMI.
You are correct. Correct. And I think I'm sorry, I put the
you've posted the HDMI version. That's the only reason I know is because you posted the HDMI one. Otherwise, I'd have just gone along with it.
Sorry.
No.
Excellent point.
Just be careful when buying. But if you want the HDMI, then fantastic. Cal, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm just putting it in the...
You know you can put it in ahead of time, right?
I was so enthralled with the dock, unfortunately. I forgot. But yeah, I've got an app called Trickster, and it is available in setup, of course.
Oh.
And it is basically something that sits in your menu bar at the top, and it allows you to view your recent files and, well, view your application. So without going into a different window, you can say open another application or access a file very quickly. So it's only a very small app, but it's very neat, and it works really well. I've had it on my Mac for a couple of days, and if you need to just open something quick, so for example, if I'm working on a motherboard, I need to open a schematic PDF and I'm in a board view or something like that, I just open that and I don't have to leave the window and leave what I'm looking at, and it can just open in one of my other on my second screen, which is really neat. So a good little app, and it's available in setup.
And the
that's dope, because the built-in recents in OS are horrible.
Yeah
you it can is. It's just
close
a
file and then you go to look for it, because you know, maybe you forgot when you were doing the dialog box, you missed it, you go to click recents, it don't see it. I'm like, how about I just saved it as recent, dude?
I stopped using recents in Photoshop because it was driving me mental. It's so crap. I hate it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Superb. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Oh, goodness. Currently, I am all over the internet at DOCROCK. Still doing lots of stuff on the YouTube, but I just started a private membership site for folks that are trying to grow their YouTube and things like that, and that is at buymeacoffee.com/docrock.
You're and kidding. That was I'm available.
Doing private Zoom calls and teaching folks, like, you know, doing one-on-one consultants, helping people get their stuff together, because more and more people are going to be still stuck, no place to go, and yet they need to do something with their time. So I can show you how to take on, say, clients and stuff using a one-on-one situation. And yeah, you just follow me there if you need help.
Okay, mate. Excellent. Jeff, where would you be?
Jake Ammett on Twitter and Instagram, on The Big Show, The Mac Show. I'm showing up on Mac Voices Live more often. Surprisingly, Chuck keeps letting me come back. And
well, they didn't sack you, mate. I mean, you went on to bigger and better things, but there's no reason you can't go back. I think they should rehire you.
No, I'm talking about Mac Voices Live, Chuck Show.
Yeah, Chuck should hire you. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Chuck.
Yeah.
I'll send over the contract and yeah, so we'll get this going. Thanks, Ewan. Thanks for setting that up.
Yeah, no worries, man. I'll take 10%.
Don't take too much.
No problem. I'll just bump up my my fee to cover that, and we're set. This is great.
I just thought I'd help because he never invites me.
Oh, well, you know. Awkward. Anyhow, I get around. Google me, and I'm on tons of shows.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, every week here on The Big Show and on The Mac Show. All the social media links and projects and whatever I do on thepatrice.com. And on my podcast, The Foodie Flashback at Foodie Flashback.
Yeah, now I need a word about that before you go around. You gloss over it, mate. I did a lot of driving over the Christmas period, so I caught up on all my podcasts, and I caught up on my Chris Ashley episode of Foodie Flashback, and I've unsubscribed now because I'm pissed off. I didn't get a rub.
Oh, that was perfect.
that's what you wanted. You wanted me unsubscribed, right? Now we know Absolutely. Where we stand. Thank you, mate. Yeah, right, got you.
Yeah, but he had some really great tips, and so...
Yes, he did. Yeah, if I wanted to buy a £3,000 porcelain smoker, I was quids in. And spend $2,000 shipping it from the States.
Dude, mm-hmm. those things are dope. The Komodo eggs, yep. they're amazing.
I know, but anyway, moving on.
They don't have a UK version?
I don't know. I'm just, well, it doesn't matter. You're missing the point. The $3,000 was the bit that was the problem, not the shipping. Do I want to buy a £3,000 porcelain smoker? No.
Yes.
Yes.
If I had a backyard, I'd
Mate,
buy one.
I'd be coming to live. My wife would throw. I'd be coming to live with you. That's a good point. Holy crap! If I bought one of those, I'd be coming to live with you, and I'd bring it with me.
Yeah. Oh, in Hawaii, we just dig a hole in the ground to smoke meat.
We can argue incessantly, but at least we'd have a £3,000 smoker to unite us.
You wouldn't hear it over the crackling of the wood.
I got wood chips on deck.
And also, right, because it's so big, it would mean that if you and I fell out, I can use it as a spare room. Yes.
Come on. Come through.
Bring it back.
I love this plan.
Trees, I'll take you to the best meat and alcohol spot in town.
Oh, yes.
Meat and alcohol. That's your Instagram feed.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Good man. I love that. Chuck, where would you be?
You can find me on Mac Voices at macvoices.com.
No, you've got to rebrand. You've got to rebrand. You've got to be Mac Voices and Jeff.
Well, we can talk about it. The fee will probably be enough to buy you enough wine to fit in that crack in the cup. Ewan, if you are willing to lower yourself to come on Mac Voices, I would be delighted to have you.
No, dude, I'm not a safe guest. I'm never a safe guest on a podcast.
Yeah, but I edit, so that's not a problem.
Oh, okay, right, great.
I was going to say, maybe that's why Chuck didn't tell me, because he knows I'm going to say something foul.
Too much editing.
Mate, I would be honored to come on your podcast with you. I love you.
You're going to have to charge us extra for the editing, though, Ewan.
Yeah, it's a 3-day edit after we've done 40 minutes.
I'll get Jeff to do the editing. How's that?
That's his 10% right there. Yes, spot on.
There you go.
It turns into a 3-minute show.
All I have to do is hit the explicit tag for the iTunes store, right? And we're set.
Oh, I don't know. Chuck's too clean for that, mate.
We'll talk about it.
He's
got to wear a tie and everything.
He's got a grandchild now. He can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Don't perpetuate that.
Who's that then?
So what you're saying is now the channel is Mac Voices Live with Grandpa and Jeff.
Yes. That works. That totally works.
Well, let's fill it out. Let's get Callum on, and then it'll be, you know, Chuck and Jeff and Grandpa and Son, and
I sit thinking, why didn't we think of that before? But it was because Chuck wasn't a granddad. That's why we didn't think of it before.
Oh man!
hey guys, what's Chuck's favorite bourbon? Old Granddad.
I don't.
Rimshot.
You are.
And Callum, where would you be?
Apparently I'll be the grandson on Chuck's podcast, but you can find us and everything we do at imnmax.com. We're all over the socials at imnmax. We're back on Twitter. We've been allowed back on after Joe's naughty spell. Hey. So I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@imammax.com. I'm at O'Hara Callum on Twitter. And as we said earlier in the show, if you could donate anything you've got, it would be much, much welcome. And go to our website to do it.
Now then, if you would like to win an IMN Max mug, or you would like to win a wireless charger with two USB ports in it, then this is your one time only chance, because after this week they'll be pulling the sponsorship of the show. We've got three of these to give away. Here we go, let me Debbie Card Fan 3, me Debbie McGee 3, there we go. We've got three of these wireless chargers to give away and one mug which is unused, this one's used. And you can win it, there you go. All you've got to do is answer one simple question and email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com with the answer. And the question is, can you name the four people that make up IMN Max? Dead simple. So there's Callum for a starter for 10, right? You only need the Christian names. You don't need the surnames, because I don't know the surnames of one of them. No, I two of them, actually. So Callum's one. So there's three others that you've got to name in your email. And if you get pulled out then from random, then you'll get a wireless charger with USB ports and a mug. Now, if you're thinking, well, how the hell am I supposed to know that? There's always websites to go to. And the other thing that there is the Christmas show, because all four of those people were mentioned during the Christmas show. So get in and have a listen to the Christmas show and you'll get the answer. It's not that odd.
What I would say, adding to that as well, just as a bit of a hint for you, if you dig deep enough on our website, we are on there somewhere. I don't know where, but we are there, and what we do is on the website. So if you dig hard enough, you'll find us, and Joe will be really grateful for the SEO as well.
It's on the 404 page.
You book a repair
and there we go. So if you book a repair, they'll give you the answer free of charge.
What a great idea. If you donate a machine so we can give it to charity, I'll give you the check.
That's perfect.
Give you the answer, yeah. And send you an extra mug out as well.
Anyone who donates an item for free at last gets a free mug, and they get the answer to the question so they can win another free mug.
See?
That's perfect.
BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. My name's Ewan Rank. You can get me at Ewan Rank on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. I'm going to go and start my weekend now, and I'm going to try and think of a show title for last week's show. Jeff's explanation is so far, that's all we got.
£3,000 smoker
this week, or it's dock mode. We've still got to go with dock mode. Enabling dock mode. I can't use the other stuff. There we go. Although there was a 3-round battle between me and Doc through midway through the podcast, never mind. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. More than ever, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Friday for another live bout between Doc and me and the rest of us.